meeting minutes.
Ms.
I
Chair,
move
this is
that.
Mark Petrich. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is Susan Whetstone. I'll move approval.
Mark Petrich, Simone, I'll second it.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye. Oh.
By name?
Susan Whetstone, aye.
Mark Petrich, Simone, aye.
Christy?
Dr. Christy Samperi, aye.
Kathy Graves, aye. Thank you. I'm just going to skip item two for the moment and ask someone to move items three through six. They're all information only.
Kathy, I don't think we need vote for items three through
Okay.
six.
All
Yeah,
right. So
those are
that's information only.
correct.
So anyone, do I hear a move to pay the bills?
Ms. Chair, this is Mark Petrosmore. I move for approval of the payment of bills on item 7.
Do I hear a second?
Susan Whetstone, second.
Discussion, all in favor? Vote
Mark
by name,
Petrosmore,
please.
aye.
Susan Whetstone, aye.
Dr. Christy Samperi, aye.
Kathy Graves, aye. Thank you. Now we'll move back to item two. Item two, 2A. We have Nancy on the phone.
Hi there. I don't think you can see my video, but can you hear me?
We cannot
Yes.
see the video, but we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, for some reason, I'm having trouble with the Wi-Fi this morning. Good morning. This is Nancy Kalesa from Blegmar Fonte and Auld. And if it's okay, I'll just continue without the video.
Okay.
So basically, at Blegmar Fonte and Auld, we monitor your portfolio. And the purpose of that monitoring is basically twofold. It is to point out any cases to you in which your fund may have a loss, securities litigation cases, and then let you know if it seems like any of these cases represent credible opportunities for you to serve as a lead plaintiff. Or if not, we just advise you that we will monitor the case for you and let you know when a settlement is reached. And then we submit a claim for you so that you can recover if there is actually a settlement. And so basically, I am here today just to talk about what we've identified in the fourth quarter of 2023. It won't take very long because there are only a few cases. There were four cases that we identified that were filed in this quarter in which the fund had exposure. And I'll just tell you briefly what they are and roughly what your losses were in those cases. One case is involving a stock called Kenvue, and the case involves the company's May 4th, 2023 initial public offering. And the estimated loss for the fund on both a FIFO and LIFO basis was $26,407. And basically, the claims there are that in the IPO and its related documents, the company failed to disclose material risks of one of its cold drugs not gaining approval, which it did not. So that is what resulted in the stock drop there. That case is pending in the District of New Jersey. So we are monitoring that for you. The second case is called James River Group Holdings. That case is pending in the Southern District of New York. And in that case, there was a very small loss. It was $2,779 on both a FIFO and LIFO basis. That is a holding company in Bermuda that owns insurance and reinsurance. It looks like this is a month for accounting cases. This is an accounting case. The company overstated its income and had to issue a restatement. Another case, the third case you had exposure to, was a case called Veradigm, also a very small loss there, of $2,790 on a FIFO basis, $1,680 on a LIFO basis. This is also a case involving overstated revenue. The company overstated revenue in its financials by $40 million. So basically, they had artificially inflated financials. So when that news came out, there was a stock drop there. And the last case you had exposure to is a case called LivePerson. That case is pending in the Southern District of New York. The fund had a loss of $34,392 on both a FIFO and LIFO basis. That is a case where the company failed to disclose suspension of a Medicare reimbursement program, which had a very negative impact on the company's revenue. So those are cases we're watching for you. None of those cases have large enough losses where we would have recommended that you move for lead plaintiff or take any action. So at this point, there's nothing you need to do. We'll just continue to monitor the case and we'll file a claim if the actions result in settlements. And then in terms of settlements, I can report that we have recovered for the fund a total of $6,746 since we started submitting claim forms for you. And that covers, I believe, one, two, three, four, five, six settlements. And so those are settlements in which we submitted claims on your behalf because you were eligible under the terms of the settlement for some recovery. So we continue to monitor those settlements that are that you are eligible for, and we continue to file claims for you. In the event that you are eligible to participate in any settlement. And does anyone have any questions about any of that?
This is Susan Whetstone. I have a question.
Sure.
The $6,000 in recovery was over what period of time?
Yes, that is since we've been submitting claim forms, which is the second quarter of 2021 through present. So those
Okay.
are just cases that resulted in settlement that you were eligible for.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Any more
Does anyone?
question? No, seeing none. Thank you so much, Nancy, for the update.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll continue to keep you updated and submit claims as they become ripe for settlement. So thank you very much for your time and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Item 2A, renewal of liability insurance. Leanna, you want to speak to this?
Hi, yes, this is Leanna Ambersley. This time every year, this has to go to vote before the trustees because your current liability insurance runs out at the end of March. So attached, we have sent to you the premium for renewal, which shows the $29,897, which is I confirmed with the representative there. It's the same premium as last year, as like this current year, this time last year. So we would need the trustees to either vote to accept this or not accept it, but just do keep in mind that your current one expires at the end of this month.
This is Susan Whetstone. I have a question. Is there a procurement process for this insurance? Does it have to go out to bid, or is it considered a professional service that's exempt from the bidding process?
Hi, Susan. This is Carolyn. So, we are not bound by the city's bidding procurement processes.
Okay.
So it's really, sort of contract by contract how the trustees want to handle it.
So, trustees, what's your favor?
Ask Taylor. You mentioned, I think you mentioned, I just didn't hear you. The difference in the premium from last year to this year?
It stayed the same.
It stayed the same. Okay.
Yes, correct.
Thank you.
Would someone like to move this item that we accept the renewal of our liability insurance?
Mr. Chair, this is Mark Petrosimone. I'll make a motion to accept the renewal of the liability insurance being presented to us.
Do I hear a second?
Susan Whetstone, second.
Discussion?
I would.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would actually like to have some discussion. I guess even if we're not subject to the city's procurement requirements, I think it's reasonable as a public entity for us to engage in procurement processes so that it's clear that we are getting the best and most competitive bids. I understand that this contract is going to expire, and so we have to do something. But I think what I'd like to propose is that we make it a practice that at least every 3 years, if we've had a contract, that we do some kind of competitive bidding process just to make certain that we are getting the best current prices.
That makes sense.
And we can draft a procurement policy so that that's in writing if that's what the trustees would like us to do.
Well, I don't want to speak for all of the trustees,
Yeah,
but
no, I'll
I
put that
do
out
think
there.
we should have some kind of procurement policy.
You know, we're. As you say, you know, professional services might not be included, or a
Right.
certain money, you know, with a certain money value would create, you know, take us out to bid.
I thought at one point we had a discussion that the city was doing something with their procurement policies and that we were going to try to maybe not adopt them, but look at them, mirror them in some way. I'm not sure what happened with that. But I think we should revisit this. We just don't know, even if the price is exactly the same. Does anyone know how long we've had this contract with this company?
I think it's been a long time, and they have been very good about honoring. We've had in the past, in a distant past, but at least two claims, and they've been very good about. They didn't have to pay, but they paid the defense costs, and so yeah. And I'm not sure this fiduciary liability policy. I'm not sure how many people offer that.
Right,
This.
right.
This is, I think, a pretty niche business, but I mean, but having a procurement policy is probably a good idea. And we do go out to bid for, you know, I'll go back and look and see what our policies are because I know when we did the Hooker and Holcomb, we had. Let me go
Yeah.
back and report at the next meeting because we didn't need to make some findings. So I'll look into this.
Thank you very much.
So we have a motion on the table. Do you want, would the trustees like to vote on the motion that's on the table
Yeah.
with the addition that Carolyn Cohn will come back to us next month with some proposals on procurement policy?
I don't know if that needs to be in the motion. So I'm happy to just go with the original motion to approve it.
Okay. Trustees, your favor? All in favor?
Mark
Susan
Petrosimone,
Whetstone.
aye.
Susan
Sorry.
Whetstone, aye.
Kathy Graves, aye.
Dr. Christie Samperi,
Ayes have it. Thank you very much. And
aye. And the more I think about it, I think there is something in our bylaws or a code of conduct on this. So I I apologize for not remembering it, but I'll report back. I do think we all have something.
Thank you very much. The COLA increase, Leanna, you want to talk about that? It's just information
Yes.
only.
Yeah, information only. Every July, the actuary lets us know what the cost of living increase is. They just sent the attach. It was one of your documents, the attached letter, which states that the COLA increase is above the 3%. Tier one employees, the max that a SERF retiree has is an 3% annual increase. So, with this being above 3% this year, everyone will receive their eligible cap. So there are some members who are at 2%, for instance, so they would get a 2% increase. Those at 3% would get their 3% increase. And this is effective as of July 1st.
Any questions? Okay. Any old business? Any new business? Carolyn, I know that we had the discussion about the Fairview acquisition last month. Has all the paperwork that was sent to us been submitted?
Yes, it has.
Okay, thank you. Any new business? Well, trustees, would you like to move for adjournment? That was a quick meeting.
Yes. Ms. Chair, Mark Petersmal, I move for the adjournment of the meeting.
Susan Whetstone, second.
All in favor?
Susan Whetstone, aye.
Mark Petersmal, aye.
Dr. Christy Samperi, aye.
Kathy Gray's aye. Everyone have a nice week, and hopefully the weekend we'll have some sunshine.
You too there.
See you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. Bye-bye.
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 Bye. Take care.